Tough times out there, my fellow Christians, and only getting tougher. There is an avid and rabid attack mentality on Christianity on the part of secularists and naturalists in America and, in fact, the world over. Our beloved Constitution, in the very special First Amendment thereof, provides for freedom of religion, as we all know. But that matters little to those hate-mongers who, in fact, hate Christianity, and perhaps all religions, but especially Christianity. There comes an organization, Freedom From Religion, set up in contrast to the First Amendment, which provides for freedom of religion, and there are many similar such organizations, like Freedom From Religion, and there are individuals who feel the same way, and universities, and courts, and judges, anti-religion, and especially Christianity. You know, by their legal fruits ye shall know them. Donald John Trump has been our president since January 2017. In the 15 months of the Trump administration, good things have happened. President Trump issued a religious liberty executive order May 2017. The Justice Department, under Attorney General Sessions, issued what is called follow-on guidance as to how to implement that religious liberty order, stating as well that all agencies must protect religious liberty. Of course, in America today, some do and some don't. Secretaries of those agencies, those federal agencies, which are constitutionally minded, do. And those appointed by the former ringleader of the Washington swamp do not. HHS and the USDA have complied with the order. The Defense Department and the Air Force have not. Sooner or later, all will, or we could expect President Trump to remove the secretaries and reform the structure of those renegade agencies. Trump promised in 2016 that, if he were elected, Christianity would be restored to its proper place in America after the Obama administration, with its slogan that America was no longer a Christian nation, can you believe that, employed removal tactics and even direct attacks against the Christian church and faith. Thank you for that, President Trump. Thank you for negating the negative actions of President Barack Hussein Obama. Thank you. Fortunately for America, Trump did not stop there. He has been true to his promise, the president has, to appoint what are termed originalist justices and judges. That is, those judges who will interpret, in Trump's words, the Constitution in the right way. That, of course, includes defending religion in the marketplace, in practice, and without censorship to worship or speech. People of faith should applaud Trump for that. As Family Research Council so well stated, thanks be to God for giving President Trump a burden to champion religious liberty. Amen to that. The appointment and confirmation of Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch was a wonderful move for constitutional America. Gorsuch is a conservative, and the Senate has confirmed 12 of President Trump's Federal Appeals Court appointees, more so than any president in the first year. How great that is for America! It is very possible that in the next 3 years, President Trump will appoint hundreds more similarly highly qualified conservative judges to every part of the federal judicial system, including the very real possibility that Trump will nominate and the Senate will confirm new Supreme Court justices as a result of the retirement of certain current ones. Christians and Jews, right-thinking, applaud President Trump for finally ordering the American Embassy in Israel to move from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. That order brought howls of protests from so many, including the so-called United Nations, where anti-Semitism rules. The move to Jerusalem is an affirmation that Israel is rightfully Jewish, the Promised Land, the Holy Land, no matter the discontent. A courageous move, Mr. President, courageous indeed. We may now expect the God of Abraham to demonstrate his promise to bless those who bless Israel, which now, of course, includes our very own president. Expect some blessings, Mr. Trump. And don't forget the athletes in action, my fellow Americans, action for the proclamation and the public display of their faith. There was one beloved high school football coach, Joe Kennedy, by name, who was fired for praying publicly on the football field before and after games. And he had the audacity to invite any of his players to join him, but only if they wished. Kennedy was coldly, abruptly fired from his high school coaching position as a result of a 30-second silent prayer. Can you believe that? Kennedy, a teacher as well as a coach, counted upon the enforcement of his constitutional rights and the ruling of the Supreme Court in 1969, which stated, "Public school teachers do not shed their constitutional rights to freedom of speech or expression at the schoolhouse gate." Let me read that again. "Public school teachers do not shed their constitutional rights to freedom of speech or expression," like prayer, "at the schoolhouse gate or on the football field." But the hate of the liberal radical left, the atheistic left, cares little about that ruling and goes after anyone they well please. Kennedy was a public praying target, and as a result of his firing, the Kennedy case may well end up at our very own Supreme Court. I hope it does. Kennedy took the knee for Christ, but never bowed the knee to Baal. Well done, Joe Kennedy. Well done. And then there was Dabo Swinney, head coach of the Clemson University Football Tigers, a devout and praying Christian. This publicly praying coach led his Clemson football team to the national title, no less, and came close the very next year. How interesting that this coach prays in public, testifies in public, but has not as yet felt any disciplinary action nor even any overt criticism for his public stance. Wonder why? Swinney's players love and respect him, not just as a praying Christian, but as a great football coach and a football mind, a leader of men, and a flat-out winner. So many people public in their faith are in fact winners at what they do and what they are, don't you think? Boy, that's good to see. And don't forget the testimony of Nick Foles, quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles, who led that team to a Super Bowl victory in February 2018. Foles was and is a devout Christian, praying in public, often before and after games, on the field, unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to him and so many others. Since the National Football League takes no discipline against angry players who take the knee during the national anthem, I suppose the NFL is reluctant to take a stance against players who take both knees on the field in behalf of Jesus Christ. Fascinating examples, don't you think? And then there was Harvard University, an educational liberal bastion. Harvard, almost three centuries ago, was started on the basis of Christian faith and tenets, long since forgotten by the biased educational institution. So, when Harvard conducted a study of United States Christianity, everyone knew what the bottom line would be, and that would be a negative result. But very surprisingly, the Harvard study indicated that United States Christianity, American Christianity, is alive and well and growing. Harvard uncovered powerful new statistics which point to a resurgence of the faith. How wonderful that is. Fabulous. But of course the left so easily dismisses that. And the Harvard researchers found that religion continues to enjoy, listen to this one, quote, "persistent and exceptional intensity in America." Boy, that's a mouthful, isn't it? And they further stated that America remains an exceptional and potential counterexample to the secularization thesis. That's interesting, too. In short, faith in Christianity over secularity in America. And from Harvard, no less. Boy, that surprised me. But back to form, goes Harvard. There's an organization at the university called Harvard College of Faith and Action. The members of this group confronted one of its assistant Bible course leaders about her new and sexual relationship, woman to woman. Harvard reacted aggressively by sanctioning the group and ordering a year-long probation. The Christian group protested, claiming that the action taken was not homophobic, but rather enforcing their standards as a group with regard to celibacy as the only option outside the bounds of marriage. Sounds biblical to me. No matter to Harvard, probation anyway. You know, it is one thing, says the Christian group, for Harvard to counteract homophobia, but quite another thing to attack standards for celibacy. But that is Harvard, and so many other liberal Ivy League and other similar educational institutions in our country. Forget about celibacy. And then there was Princeton University Theological Seminary. They had voted to confer the prestigious Abraham Kuyper Award to one Pastor Tim Keller. Have you ever heard of him? Pastor of New York City's Redeemer Presbyterian Church. Boy, he is a most interesting man. One great, essentially evangelical pastor, and built a church upon this special ministry in the heart of Manhattan. Following the announcement of the award, liberal seminary board members objected because Keller's theology was not inclusive and took a firm stance for biblical principles with respect to LGBT, lifestyles and ordination. Not right for Princeton, said these board members and alumni, and Princeton Seminary, wimpy as it was, backed down and rescinded the award. Shame on them. So much for freedom of religion and speech at Princeton Seminary, don't you think? Speaking of seminaries, the entire faculty at Episcopal Divinity School was laid off last year. Any students who remained transferred to other seminaries. After 150 years, Episcopal Divinity School is putting its campus, a beautiful piece of land with a 19th-century stone chapel, up for sale, and it's closing its doors. It's done, said the chairman of Episcopal Divinity School's Board of Trustees. The church is shrinking. Boy, is that an understatement. That is the Episcopal Church. The need for clergy is shrinking, and the institutional support is shrinking. Boy, is it ever. Mainline Protestant seminaries are facing an existential crisis after a decade of mounting red ink. I am sure they wonder why. But the reality is these liberal, radical, mainline denominations have eviscerated real Christianity, changed radically its doctrinal stance, denied virtually every fundamental, and naively wonder why things go bad? Pentecostal and evangelical churches on fire can readily give them the answer, don't you think? Boy, are they growing.